Welcome to the CyberQ podcast. This episode is part of our Cyber Vision series, where we explore the future of cyber insurance through expert insight, innovation, and thought leadership. I'm your host, Rihanna Mistry, content specialist at CyberCube, and today we're talking about the cyber insurance market in the Asia-Pacific region. To discuss this, I'm joined by Juan Marcano, CyberCube's principal client account manager, and Si Lang Lau, head of cyber and casualty at Samsung Re. Thank you both for being here. Could you tell us more about your background and your current roles?
Absolutely. My name is Juan Marcano, and I am a principal at CyberCube. Currently, I hold two roles, one as an account manager for non-US entities, and I also oversee the development of our activities with capital markets and insurance-linked securities.
Thanks for having me on. Yep. I am Si Lang Lau, and I head up cyber and casualty at Samsung Reinsurance in Singapore. My job is really about building Samsung Reinsurance Global Cyber Reinsurance portfolio for both treaty as well as facultative, and setting up also our Cyber Center of Excellence for Samsung Fire and Marine Insurance globally. My background, I have been in cyber reinsurance underwriting since around 2017-2018, give and take, starting out at Lloyd's and in the London market. So that's my cyber reinsurance experience.
So, see, we've known each other for a number of years now, and we work with in different capacities, and you work at different entities as well. What I'm keen to understand is your shift to Asia and what is driving that, and what can you tell me about the Asian market?
Asia is a very interesting market, actually. I mean, in fact, I actually returned back in 23 with Gallagher initially, then joined Samsung just 3 months ago in June 2025. So Asia is very much what I observed in the last 2 years, been like a very dynamic market. It's like a changing, a pivoted moment for the cyber insurance. I know that it's a small fraction of the global market. It's about less than no more than 5% for the rest of Asia, if counting out Australia, including Japan. Australia would be roughly 10%. But having said that, we fully acknowledge that Asia, over half of the global internet users are based in this region, and also is the world's fastest growing digital economy. So this is where I can see the demand actually is the potential for this cyber insurance in the reinsurance market is poised to actually develop really significantly and rapidly in the coming 3 to 5 years. And because the gap is huge with the rapid digital transformation, and also partly because of all this changing in terms of the regulation, also in terms of the introduction of stricter privacy and data production and the localization of the data laws, even though we don't have much historical loss experience compared to the West, but with the increasing ransomware and supply chain incidents as well, are actually accelerating the demand for both primary and as well as reinsurance solutions.
Yeah. You mentioned fast-growing economies,
sure,
rapid adoption of technology, high penetration of internet, change in regulatory environment. So these are all like the key ingredients
yeah,
for a new market to grow, right, and thrive. Now, what has changed in the last couple of years that, I mean, since you went back to Singapore and since I've been traveling to the region, the change in perception about cyber risk and cyber insurance has kind of flipped. Would you say that's the case?
Definitely. I mean, this is also partly driven by initially the cyber insurance penetration is still very low. However, the mindset has been shifting from, I mean, unlike the West where cyber insurance is now becoming like must have, whereas for this particular region, especially in the ASEAN region, is still very much a nice to have, mainly because for many small, medium enterprises and corporates at the board levels, they initially see this more in IT issues. And this has fast becoming a more like a business risk rather than IT issue, mainly because of the adoption, the digitization of all these businesses, especially post-COVID, plus the fact that, again, mentioned about the tightening of the regulation, the introduction of the notification requirement in some markets like China, Indonesia, for example, Singapore, And they are actually also introducing fines nowadays, very similar to the West. Hence, this cyber insurance becoming more like a solution as part of the risk management governance for most corporates and enterprises, small, medium enterprises as well.
Now, in terms of the insurance industry itself, do you see the Asian companies adopting different methods to reach their audience than those in more established markets?
Very much the case here. I mean, especially given the fact that initially a lot of the markets here locally, especially the domestic insurers, are struggling with copying what we have in terms of most likely than not the Western templates in terms of solution, cyber insurance templates, the coverages, very broad and really more fit for purpose in most cases for large corporates. Whereas for here, because of the way that economy has transformed, the way that distribution has been digitalized a lot more, and being the fact that payment platform, telco, also banks, whereby a lot of the distribution becoming more like embedded. So a lot more approach are initially on the first entry level products, whereby they're offering the fully fledged coverages, like from first party ranging all the way to third party. In fact, now the approach has been adopting more simplified approach, single coverage for certain type of needs based on the needs of the coverages. Also more designed for frauds, for instance, related to the incidents that suffer the most, mainly because there's a lot of our coverages are nice to have, but not actually required at this stage, especially in the early adoption stage. And also market by market is quite different in the sense of the culture. Some prefer more confidentiality rather than transparency on when there's an event, for example. All this adoption need to be reflected in the local market needs. Here, hence more fragmented, and that's why wanted to enter into this market. Really, we need to look into market by market dynamics in the sense.
So on the back of that, I guess it is critical for the local players to start developing their own products and their own wordings and their own view of risk. Would you say that that is a fair assessment?
Totally. Yeah. Effectively more tailored in the sense that in terms of the wordings and the coverages. Partly because by offering all the coverages that we are seeing in the West will make the product not cost effective. At the same time, it's not understood, becoming too complex. And then also a lot of this market, as soon as there's a need driven by the regulation, whereby the regulation becoming more akin to GDPR, then of course the product will need to be more sophisticated. But as and when this is still not the case yet, right, for certain markets, then introducing the product slowly and surely like more like at the entry point and more modular, that would definitely help in terms of getting the businesses to accept and buying the insurance product, more open to buying the insurance.
So you definitely see that there is space for innovation in the region.
100%, yeah.
And this will be one of the drivers of growth. So innovations on product, innovation on how the services are provided, and basically it will be a new type of cyber insurance, would it?
It is still cyber insurance in the sense of protecting the digital risks in the sense, more tailored in the sense that only catered for, let's say, payments, digital platforms, whereby the distribution is more related to transactional, for example, when there's a need because of regulations. And this would tailor across even for personal cyber all the way to small, medium enterprises to meet market and large corps. And definitely the range would be a lot bigger, given the fact that you have more than 50% of the population in Asia, whereby are being digitalized at the moment. So there's really a lot of scope in terms of what can be done, but need to be thought through market by market and taking into the low context in mind when developing the solution.
Okay, so you're painting quite an interesting picture here, because there would be innovation, new products. There is huge potential for penetration. Now, how is the perception of the public, the people that will be buying these policies, have changed over the last few years that now there is this momentum behind cyber insurance? Because a few years back in countries like South Korea, the perception about privacy in the digital format or outages of service providers was somewhat I failed to grasp the word, but they didn't give it a lot of importance. But that has changed in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, because it's not just a digitalization, right? The regulation and also the rising incidents are all driving to this change, actually. But it would be different depending on the market in terms of the pace and the perception. So as mentioned, digitalization is surely one of those because of the adoption. When we talk about the cloud adoption to fintech and to e-commerce, especially post-COVID, and every new digital touch point has increased tremendously the kind of exposure. And that's when the companies are starting to realize cyber risk is now a business risk. As mentioned, it's not just an IT issue. Of course, I mean, as mentioned earlier, regulatory is playing another big part here. It's not about the litigation trigger. It's more regulatory driven because a lot of the governments across this region just mentioned a few, like Singapore's PDPA, which is Personal Data Protection Act. Indonesia as well, Personal Data Protection Law, PDP Law, and India's DPDP, which is the Digital Personal Data Protection Act as well. They all require some form of making breach notification and data protection mandatory, which drives awareness at the board level, even though before you mentioned confidentiality is not so much in terms of protecting the data of the individuals, so not so much an agenda at the board level. Now has become so because of all this regulatory pressure, and it creates really a need for financial protection. So at the board level, they need to consider how to provide the governance in place to safeguard not just the data of their customers, of their corporates at the IP level, intellectual property level, and also basically because of the third reason is because also the incident frequency and visibility, which large scale ransomware attacks that we have seen, for example, in South Korea in the early 25, and some service outages, which affected this region as well, like July 24 last year with CrowdStrike, that has made this cyber becoming tangible for executive. Initially, never thought this could be possible, the kind of risk. So I guess the difference here is the search for the becoming more like the awareness has definitely increased, definitely in the last, since 23 to 25. And now it's about how to access the products. As we mentioned earlier, we can't have it one size fits all. So we need to be tailored market by market to make it simpler to localize the products. So to easier to distribute across digital platform, because Asia is becoming more digitalized in terms of the economies and through embedded channels as well, for instance. That's when I can see how you would scale in Asia.
Now, looking at the other side of the equation, because we're mm-hmm. talking about being more aware of the risk and the products and the interest for accessing these products. How about the side of the risk? Do you think the threat actors will be materially different from those that we've seen in more established markets, or there would be similarities? I mean, within cyber, I guess, the type of peril will continue to be the same, but the techniques is what changes, correct?
Indeed. I still think the risk would be similar, but in terms of adoption, because it's so much faster here, so even the risk will be shifted more, for example, AI or even generative AI, as recently as this year, for instance, has becoming more a hot topic. And then also, of course, supply chain risk is another one, because a lot of these markets are exporters, they're dominated by manufacturers, for instance. And of course, we have to worry about some sort of systemic dependency as well. I mean, everyone talk about AI a lot, and now including generative AI, and we're talking about even now in the West as well, in terms of extending cyber risk coverage to include AI-related losses. We are seeing the kind of deep fakes that we're talking about here, social engineering. We're also talking about data poisoning here. And also in terms of AI-enabled social engineering, that changing the speed and the sophistication of attacks, and whereby we see a lot more taking place here in this region, mainly because of the way that people spend time more digitally now on the social media. They use shopping channel online. They buy through apps. They store all their personal information online, virtually a click away, a face ID away in terms of going through any form of transaction. I'm talking about spend from the individual level all the way to the enterprises. So these are not hypothetical anymore. They are real exposure that can hit because of the fact that it become a target that for sci-fi financial institutions, media companies, and even government agencies to store all this information. So it's usually become a target. And on top of that, the supply chain, and also because of the vendor concentration here, many businesses in Asia, across Asia, rely on the same small group of cloud. Again, as mentioned, there are some sort of local cloud here. We talk about maybe Alibaba, Huawei, and also payment platform here, and a lot of the shopping channel here. We talk about TikTok, Shopee, payment channels as such. We also talk about IT service providers. So any single outage, one of these vendors will cascade into across many, many insurers. And that would be the systemic risk related to the market. That is going to be very difficult to quantify. This is becoming real, tangible risk rather than the risk that people never talked about before. Also wanted to talk about, because of all of this related digitization, including the government sectors, they like to basically digitalize everything, including the energy, healthcare, logistics. This is so common here because of the fact that this economy is here dominated by manufacturers, export, import. So yeah, that critical infrastructure element is becoming so much more hyper-connected. And then yet the protection gap is getting bigger and bigger as a result. So I guess for this particular region, and it's no actually more different than the developed markets, I mean the US, the North America and Europe, but in fact, it's going to be way more prominent here because of the fact that adoption is a lot more faster. So we need to make sure that there are a lot more solution in place whereby I can cater all this, the sooner the better.
So if I can summarize this in my own words and with my view, it is critical for the local carriers to increase the level of sophistication and understanding about cyber risk, try to learn from the lessons from the more mature markets, and try to implement this in a way that they can get a good understanding of the accumulation risk, taking into consideration that are critical points within the system, given the concentration and significant market share of some of the providers, and the reliance not only for the commercial sector, but also from the public sector, to this exposure to the digital world.
In fact, yes. I mean, not just that we need the data. I mean, we definitely need smarter modeling now, more proactive risk engineering. We need this partnership between insurers, reinsurers, and tech vendors in order to really stay ahead of this emerging risk, which is actually taking place faster in the region here.
And in that spirit of collaboration, how open are the government institutions to collaborate with the private sector and entities that have been working in the space to help increase the level of awareness, understanding, and potentially help in finding some of these solutions?
Essentially, the regulators, the industry bodies, and the data platforms, I mean, some of these tech companies, including companies like yourself, there's a degree of cooperation will be required in order to improve transparency and standardize any form of breach reporting, to have this shared data ecosystem established. So that will then make modeling far more reliable and allow more capacity to enter into the market. The challenge in this market also, because a lot of the robo carrier hesitates to enter the market to provide capacity beyond certain type of segment of the business, like the large corp, for instance, mainly because they don't still understand or able to analyze better the market because they don't have the data, the loss data, the threat landscape, for example, coming from this part of the world, merely because of partly related to reporting regime, for example. Also, they can't really tell, put a number into whatever is going to happen right now and how they can see this going to be able to scale in order to have enough revenue to support if there's a major loss, for example. So that's where the capacity, the capital is there, but the capacity not coming in right now still, mainly because of the fact that very difficult to quantify. So we need to work closely. The regulators definitely working closely with experts, the industry experts like yourself, in order to establish a framework, a way to quantify, to encourage the industries to come together as well to assess the risk better in order to understand the need to buy some form of protection And then together with the providers, like the insurers, as well as the reinsurers, actually, with this partnership in order to develop some maybe localized wordings to have a pricing frameworks, which would be more fit for purpose for the local markets rather than the international market. And then also develop these accumulation models with the scenarios that it's also relevant to the local markets in the region here. So all in all, that will help maybe scale the market better.
Yeah. So basically, there has to be also an element of education from the local carriers to help the big reinsurers to understand how the risk is being assessed and how the potential for accumulation is being managed.
Correct.
In a way. Mm-hmm. So there's tons to do. And I guess that is what makes it so appealing and so interesting. When you're building a market, there's so many opportunities and so many pitfalls as well. But I guess this has been with other products. The Asian markets have seen what not to do.
Yep.
So they can prevent those pitfalls.
So as we come to a close, see, what advice would you give to cyber insurance professionals working in Asia to help them succeed in this growing market?
Okay. If I were maybe to advise a new entrant into the Asian cyber insurance space, I would say it would be to build for resilience, not just for rate. Why? This is still a developing market, so it is tempting to chase growth or mimic Western products. But Asia's diversity demands patience, adaptability, and partnership. The real winners will be those who take time to understand local regulations, invest in underwriting expertise, and align with technology partners to help clients prevent and manage incidents. So if we focus on long-term trust, transparency, and technical strength, growth will follow naturally. So cyber insurance in Asia is not just a financial product. It is an enabler of confidence in the digital economy.
And in that same spirit, I think cyber insurance will be that critical part on the growth of the wider economy by giving people the confidence that when, not if, because unfortunately, it will be the case of when an event occurs, they will have the comfort and the security that the insurance products will be there to help them recover from that incident.
Thank you for listening to the CyberCube podcast, where we break down cyber risk, insurance, and everything in between. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe on your preferred listening platform and tune in for the next episode. And don't forget to check out www.cybercube.com or find us on LinkedIn or X for extra content and updates. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient, and keep shaping the future of cyber insurance.